Hello, it's Tom here. Before we start this episode, I first just want to apologise for how long it's taken between episodes. This one is one I've wanted to make for a long time. But I also set myself a challenge. With this episode, all the music is by myself. And I've never done that before in a podcast. I've never really, seriously, tried to make music before. And this episode is not perfect. I am developing my skills, but I'm proud of it. And no one's going to commission me to make pieces like this. Sounds Good Right is a place where I can experiment and try things. This is the New York Police Department Goes Dark.
This was one of my first ones. Oh, this one, yeah. I gotta change batteries on this one. And each one has like different frequencies. Like this one listens to fire. This one listens to police, fire, and aviation. That's in Queens. Our main frequency is called SOD, Special Operations Division. That's like building collapses, hostage situations, bank robberies. They're saying that they want that is as the next frequency to be encrypted.
Yo, T-Bone, did you produce this?
Sounds good, right?
My name is Bruce Kotler, C-O-T-L-E-R. I am a photojournalist in New York City, and I've been doing it for over 30 years. The New York Press Photographers every year has their annual gala. I'm dressed up in a tuxedo. We're in Manhattan. We're at Park Avenue. I see a police car zoom by. See another one, three more, two ambulances. My wife looks at me and says, turn on your radio. A couple of blocks from where we were, someone fell out the window. Run there, the guy's laying on the ground. He was drunk as can be. He fell out the third floor window. And like you would see in a comedy movie, the awning, that's what saved him. He went through the awning. He hit the ground. And an EMT and a police officer just turned to me and said, you usually come formal to these things?
I came out of the barbershop and a guy was sitting in his car. He rolled down the window and he's like, hey, news photographer. Is there any update on the NYPD and their battle for radio encryption and putting a stop to it? So it's all a matter of where you get your news and who you're talking to. The average civilian has no idea that it's happening. You have to be in our world to know that it is taking place. My name is Lloyd Mitchell. I'm a photojournalist in New York City. I work in Brooklyn and Queens. I cover any big news events happening in the city, everything from breaking news to general politics and sports. I interned with a bunch of different people over the years. The last guy that I interned with, he would run around with the police radios on between fire and police department. And that summer that I interned with him, we didn't have like a crazy summer. We didn't go to anything like earth shattering or like that I was able to remember, but it kind of just stuck with me. And I've grown up around firefighters and everything's kind of just led from one thing to another.
I grew up in Brooklyn. I went to college in New York City. I have a degree in economics and another degree in business administration. And I wasn't the best student. One day I'm studying for a final and I hear a fire engine go by. Then I hear another one. And just for me to get away from studying, I'm like, ooh, let me turn on my police radio. Not too far from me, there was a big electronics warehouse that was on fire. So I'm like, oh, okay, let me go there. I photographed it. I called around to different newspapers. The New York Post was interested. They said, come on, bring the film in. There was a friend of mine, he worked at the New York Post. He said, why don't you apply for a job? I got a response saying we don't have any openings as a full-timer, but you can start, if you want, part-time as a copy person. Pretty much a gopher. And that started my newspaper career. Back then, I would have my radio on when I went to sleep. If there is a big job coming over or a heavy duty job, there's a tone that comes over, like an alert. I'd wake up, listen to it, throw on my clothes, run out and go photograph it. You know, back then I went to a car fire. The fire department cracked open the trunk and they found a body in there. It was a mob rubout that they wanted to get the message out, you know, don't mess around, you know. They, I photographed that.
Leopold Landerhoff, described by police as a figure in the Genovese crime family, found in the trunk of his car at Kennedy Airport yesterday. Pasquale Marchioli, according to local authorities, an associate of Landerhoff's, was found in the trunk of another car on Thursday.
We do begin with breaking news. The devastating fire breaking out in a high-rise apartment building in the Bronx right here in New York City, killing at least 19 people, including 9 children. More than 40 other victims injured, including 13 sent to the hospital in life-threatening condition. Fire officials say an electric space heater malfunctioned, sparking the flames in a third-floor duplex apartment. About 200 firefighters responding to the scene. The mayor says some of them pushed through the smoke, even though their oxygen tanks were empty. He was calling this one of the worst fires in modern New York City history, and he says the city will help the largely Muslim community recover.
The Bronx fire was my biggest one. Here in New York, I've had crazy photos, running papers, people getting rescued from house fires. I actually was on the way to a shooting one day. I got a phone call from a friend of mine who's also a news reporter. That there had been another shooting within a couple of blocks from that shooting, and I happened to be around the corner. And I made photos of that where the cops, like, literally get out of their car and they go tend to help the shooting victim. It's not a matter of when I'm gonna go to a shooting, but how many shootings you end up going to. I've had days where I go to 3 shootings in a matter of 2 hours. The fact of the matter is they happen here, and you just gotta be ready for them. The stuff that's really, really super heavy for me, I write it down in a journal, or I'll type it out and email it to myself, and I'll go back through the photos, I'll attach a photo to it, or I'll print out a photo. I know my body well enough to know now that my body gives me warning signs when I've been exposed to too much over the course of a week or a month, you know? I'll get pain in my shoulder, and that's like my indicator. Just in the dispatcher's voice, you can tell what kind of incident you're going to. back in 2019 doing a Labor Day parade. And it's a big festival, a big Caribbean festival. This guy ended up getting into a shootout with the cops. But the crazy thing is, he had a mask on, like one of the Scream movie masks on, and he ended up getting into a shootout with the cops. He shot them through the glass that they were sitting in. They chased him into a backyard, and he was still shooting there. Man, we've seen all types of crazy stuff here.
As the sun set over Carnival, the flashy feathers and sounds of steel drums were replaced with flashing lights and sirens along Eastern Parkway. A burst of violence.
We just hear it, pow, 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 and then we start running.
Ending the day, which nearly left this woman trampled in the rush to escape to her home.
See people running from all directions, and the police has come, people running in buildings, falling down on the block and all of that.
There are very few cities that see the amount of stuff that we see on a month-to-month slash yearly basis, you know? Just because we have 8 million people here. Anything can happen at any given time. 9 times out of 10, what we're seeing now is in those 10 areas that are encrypted currently, I live in one of them. You don't know anything that's going on in the general location. I don't believe that this is a NYPD issue as much as it is a perception issue coming in from the higher-ups in the world of our government.
They're saying that it's officer safety. And we understand. You have to understand. The majority of journalists are pro-police. We never want to get, you know, an officer hurt or injured, you know, or compromise anything. But the administration now is trying to control the narrative. You know, that saying, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? Well, if there's no police radios that you can hear, is crime going down? We have instances where there have been events that went on and the police reported them 4 hours later, 5 hours later, even days later.
I've been doing this for not as long as Bruce, but quite some time. And I've seen my fair share of good situations and bad situations. This past Saturday night, this gentleman was holding two women at knife point out in Queens. They told him to drop his weapon, and he refused. They tried a taser. They had to shoot him to save the two women's lives. At the end of the day, we just want to be able to hold the NYPD accountable for their actions. And we're not talking like their actions in terms of protesting, but just give us the narrative of exactly what's going on.
If radios weren't open in Minneapolis, George Floyd, New York City, Eric Garner, Sean Bell, he was shot and killed. Amadou Diallo, you know, he was just a immigrant vendor who was killed with his wallet in his hand because they thought it was a gun. All of those could have been whitewashed, swept under the rug.
If I'm out and about, I'll get a couple of phone calls from people in the Hasidic community. In the Hasidic community, they get to things faster than we do. They love listening to a fire department radio and a police department radio. They love to be in the know. They love to understand the situations that's going on around them. It's one of those things where in the middle of the night, like if I can't sleep, I'll just turn the radio on and just like listen to it just to see if something like even piques my interest. It's something that I've gotten so accustomed to listening to, I don't even think twice about it anymore. It's just kind of just on. Several of my friends have always said, they were like, how do you just know how to pick this up and run with it from there? Because you just kind of can tell, you know?
Thank you to Bruce and to Lloyd for speaking with me. We'll follow this story up. There's a lot more perspectives I want to get on it. And thank you for listening right through to the end. Like I said at the start, this was an ambitious piece for me to make. And I'm proud that I've got it to a stage where I can publish it. If you enjoyed this show, then please check out all the other episodes of Sounds Good Right. There are more to come. We've got a great one with Amon Tobin coming up, produced by Ash Clivery. And if you want to help us out, please write a review, subscribe to the show, tell your friends. All this stuff really, really helps. And another way you can say thank you is go to tbone.productions and buy yourself some Sounds Good Right merch. We've got some new stuff up there now. If any of you out there listening are sound designers in particular, then there's some stuff for you. You'll find it. You'll dig it. This episode was recorded, produced, mixed, sound designed, and the music was composed by me, Tom Wally. And I'll see you next time.
Yo, T-Bone, did you produce this?
Sounds good, right?